Hi, my name's Monica and I'm reading today from Ephesians 1, 15 to 23. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and this incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way.
Well, good morning, everyone. If we haven't met before, my name's Ian, and it's my pleasure to and my privilege to share from God's Word this morning. How about we pray together now as we come to look at God's Word? Please pray with me. Loving Father, thank you for your precious Word, the Bible. Thank you that it brings us to Jesus, your living Word. Please help us to have quietened minds and hearts as we come to look at your Word now. And please help us to know you better, to know the hope to which you've called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in us, and your incomparably great power for us who believe, revealed perfectly in the risen King Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Well, I wonder if you've had the experience of a family member or a friend showing you their photos after they've been on an amazing trip. Can be an interesting and possibly also a tiring experience, can't it? Photo after photo, as they outline where they went and what they did. Oh, here's this city. It was amazing, lit up at night. Oh, the food. Oh, you've never experienced anything like it. We met these wonderful people and hung out with them for a couple of days. That was so nice and lots of fun. Oh, this is the mountain we climbed to watch the sunrise. It was just so amazing. As you look at the photos, you can kind of get a sense of what it was like. But really, it's very difficult to picture what it was truly like to be there. If you're sitting there looking at all the photos, it can maybe even feel a bit boring or at least tiring. It's all nice, but it's not your experience, is it? It's theirs. You might smile and nod along with them, but you simply don't see it all as they've seen it. Your friend or your family member might then finish with, oh, if only you could experience it as well. Oh, you should do it. It's so good. And that actually would be awesome, wouldn't it? To be able to experience it all for yourself, not just on their descriptions or the photos, but on your own real lived experience. Now, that'd be amazing. Well, today, as we look at this passage in Ephesians chapter 1, that's what we come to see. Paul desires that the Ephesians don't just hear that they have these spiritual blessings in Christ, which we saw last week. Paul desires for them to know these spiritual blessings more and more, to experience them deeply for themselves, to believe in them and rejoice in them with all of their hearts. See, Paul wants them to have real clarity, certainty, hope, and confidence in the risen King Jesus, that they'll know God much more deeply, be filled with love and thanks for him. And it's the same for us today. Wouldn't that be amazing if we continued to know our good God more and more and to enjoy him more and more? So let's have a look at our passage from Ephesians together. Let me read to you from verses 15 and 16. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Do you notice how Paul begins? For this reason. What's the reason? Well, he's referring to all he's just said in verses 1 to 14. Because of all the spiritual blessings they have in Christ, because they believe in Jesus and follow him, because they've been given the Holy Spirit, guaranteeing their inheritance and redemption, that it all brings praise to God. Because of all that, Paul is saying, for this reason, ever since I've heard of your faith in Jesus and your love for everyone else who trusts in Jesus, for the fruit your faith is producing, I've been continually giving thanks for you, continually giving thanks to God for you in prayer. How cool. And it's also challenging, isn't it? Paul gives thanks to God for them, and he does it continually, ceaselessly. Like the wind that's always blowing somewhere, like the sun's continuous energy, like the never-ending love of God. Paul says he's continually giving thanks for the faith and love of the Ephesians. What a loving thing to do for them. So how do you go with ceaselessly giving thanks for the faith and love of other believers? Personally, that's been a strong challenge to me as I've prepared for this talk. Because I know I don't give thanks like this. But is that all our response should be to Paul's example? I don't do it, oh well. Or is it an opportunity to see a possibility for personal growth? See, it's a loving thing to do for each other, isn't it? Giving thanks to God for the faith and love of others in our church family, for other believers in other church families, in mission organizations, for our brothers and sisters across the world. It's a genuine opportunity, isn't it? And have you also noticed how these verses are a prayer, but not a prayer as such? It's like Paul's praying for the Ephesians there and then. But he's also telling them that he's been in prayer for them, giving thanks to God for them. And as we'll soon see, also asking that God might enable them to know their spiritual blessings more and more. And that's an encouragement as well, isn't it? When someone says, I've been praying for you, it's actually a real sign of love, isn't it? They're spending time in conversation with God, bringing you, your joys and your sorrows to God and asking of God for you. It's another example of Paul's that we can follow. And see, it all stems from Paul's love and desire for them. See, Paul wants them to have real clarity, certainty, hope and confidence in the risen King Jesus. He wants them to grow in that. They will know God better and be filled with love and thanks for him. In the June-July holidays, I got to go to a wedding with Jill and her family for one of Jill's cousins. It was up in the hills north of Moolumbar, and I had with these views that look through to the Gold Coast. Except the problem was, it was raining that day. The clouds were really close, and even though we're in this beautiful chapel with a glass window, allowing an amazing view over the valley and north to the Gold Coast, we could see nothing but grey cloud. It was a beautiful ceremony, but we couldn't see the beautiful view to go along with it. We were told it was there, we knew it was there, we just couldn't see it. However, soon after the wind changed direction, and the clouds just literally cleared away, and the views were amazing. You should have been there. I think I have a photo or two. Nah, just joking. But the view was really awesome. The cloud and the rain cleared and it enhanced everything. It was a beautiful evening and it was a great time together. And as we look at verses 17 to 19, Paul shares what he's been praying for the Ephesians, that they might be able to know and to see God and his loving goodness in Jesus even more clearly than they currently do. That they'll have a bigger, clearer and more amazing view of God. Look with me to verse 17 where Paul says, he says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Paul starts by saying, I've been asking God, the glorious Father of Jesus and us, that you might know him better. Now, if you're wondering what the spirit of wisdom and revelation is, I simply think that it's the Holy Spirit. Paul's asking that by the Holy Spirit, through his complete and revealing word, that God the Father would give them greater understanding and reveal more of himself to them. And it also likely links back to the mystery of his will talked about in verse 9. It's so that they'll have a clearer picture of God the Father. Paul desires simply that they'll know God better. See, in Philippians chapter 3, Paul states that he desires to know Jesus above all else, that nothing else compares to being able to know Jesus and being found in him. Everything else is actually like rubbish compared to knowing Jesus as Lord and Saviour. Strong words, aren't they? Well, after this, in verses 18 and 19, Paul says, I've also been praying that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened. What's that mean? Well, simply put, in the Bible, the word heart is used to describe the core of who we are, what we think and believe, and what we love most. So in a way, Paul is saying that they'll more clearly, more radiantly see, believe and know with all their being these truths of God. And what are these truths? That they'll know the hope to which God's called them, real hope, found in Jesus alone. Also that they'll know the riches of his glorious inheritance in them. In other words, they and we are God's inheritance that he'll enjoy forever, and we'll enjoy him forever as we're with him in the new creation. And lastly, that they'll know God's incomparably great power for us who believe. And this third truth is unpacked in the next few verses. But before we go there, I'll go over what Paul has been regularly praying for them again. Firstly, that the Ephesians might know God better by the Holy Spirit showing them. Secondly, that they'll deeply and truly know God's real hope that he's called them to, that those who believe in him are his inheritance, and that they'll be able to rejoice with him for eternity, and God's amazing power at work in them. So why does Paul pray all this stuff? He doesn't mention their daily needs or their daily struggles at all. And they're important things. But as Luke 12, 30 and 31 reminds us, our Heavenly Father already knows that we need them and he desires to look after us. Instead, we should seek his kingdom, not just be constantly focused on our daily needs and pleasures. So how do you go at seeking after God our Father and wanting to know him better? Chasing your relationship with him instead of things or people or pleasures. It's hard, isn't it? What obstructs your vision of God? What clouds your head and your heart, distracting you away from being constantly amazed at God and his precious Son? And his abundant loving grace that in Jesus has forgiven our sinners, washed us clean, and brings us into his family as his children for eternity. What are the things that obscure these truths for you? Is it the troubles of your life? The worries you regularly have? The desire for more money? Or the ease you want in life? Is it that you never seem to spend time with God? Or maybe it's something totally different to that for you? Well, I'm the same. I can too regularly be distracted away from our glorious God. But you know what? Paul sets us an example here in his care for the Ephesian believers. He prays for them, and he keeps on asking God for them, not once, but regularly. I wonder if we prayed constantly for each other to know God better, his real hope, relationship with him and his mighty power, I wonder if the eyes of our hearts would be opened wider as well, and we'd be constantly amazed and dazzled by the beautiful vision of God revealed in Jesus. I wonder if we would struggle less with our distractions because we're praying for each other and being prayed for, asking God for his loving help. How good would that be if we constantly did that for each other? Well, when it comes to having a clear picture, there's nothing quite like seeing it for yourself, is there? Whether it's a sunrise at the Byron Bay Lighthouse, or seeing the intricacies of the Hannah Cabinet, or seeing a famous artwork up close and personal. When you experience it for yourself, then you have a much clearer picture and appreciation of it. So in these last verses of this passage, Paul seeks to paint a clear picture of the mighty power of God. Look with me to the second part of verse 19. It says, "That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." Here Paul outlines the incomparably great power for us who believe. Paul wants the Ephesians to have real clarity, certainty, hope, and confidence in the risen King Jesus. So he shows them what the power of God has already done. This mighty strength of God has raised Jesus from the dead to live forever. It has seated Jesus at God's right hand in the heavenly realms where he rules forever. It has placed Jesus above every power and authority conceivable forever. And it made Jesus head of all believers, the church, so that we're united to him and in him like a body is joined together forever. It's wondrous and incomparable, isn't it? We can have real confidence in God's power, his incomparably great power for us who believe. And our future is so secure in this mighty power. Why? Because this mighty power raised Jesus in victorious resurrection from the dead. Jesus, whose death and resurrection defeated sin and death for us, now sits victorious at God the Father's right hand as our everlasting King, ruling justly and lovingly over everyone and everything, giving us complete reassurance. This power of God that did all that for Jesus is at work in us. God's power has taken us from death to life by the Holy Spirit for us who believe. It promises us eternal life with God, of what will come to pass when God makes all things new. And like a body, we're united to Jesus Christ, our head. He guides us, he watches over us, and he leads us to the Father. So we can have complete assurance in God and his mighty power, because by it, he raised Jesus from the dead. By it, he seated Jesus at his right hand. By it, he placed Jesus as ruler over every power and authority forever. By it, he placed all things under Jesus' feet. By it, he placed Jesus as head over everything for the church. And by it, we're united to Christ as his body, filled up with him. What a picture. So wonderfully clear. This entire passage is a great encouragement, isn't it? Paul wants them to have real clarity, real hope, certainty, and confidence in the risen King Jesus. Paul prays that they might know God and his wonderful goodness better. And he tells them of God's mighty power and wonderful goodness revealed in Jesus. Wonderful truths that help them to be filled more with Jesus, to grow up in him, to know their good God better. Brothers and sisters, what a privilege it is as Christians not just to know about God, but to know him personally through Jesus. I encourage you to rejoice in your sure hope and to encourage each other with it. Be an encourager like Paul. He gave thanks for the faith and love of his brothers and sisters. He prayed that they might know their good God more and more. He told them that he was doing that for them continuously. And he reminded them, painted a picture for them of God's mighty power in Jesus and for them as well. We can do lots of good and loving things for each other as we follow Jesus together. But let's also follow Paul's example here and be in prayer, maybe even continual prayer for each other, giving thanks and requesting. And let's help each other to be encouraged, to have a clearer picture of God and his son Jesus by sharing and reminding. So I think that'd actually be good for us to do that right now. What do you reckon? How about we get into groups of 3 to 5 people just for a couple of minutes, and let's give thanks and pray together like Paul did for the Ephesians. Please don't feel like you have to pray though, only if you want to, but it'd be a great opportunity for us. And after a couple of minutes, I'll call us back together to finish up. Let's do that now. Let's pray. Well, thank you. How about we finish up in prayer? Let's talk to our great God together. Loving Heavenly Father, thank you for the precious love you have for us, shown perfectly in Jesus, our servant King. And Father, thank you for my brothers and sisters here right now. Thank you for their faith in Jesus and the love that they have for all your people. Glorious Father, please give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that they may know you better. Please, Father, enlighten the eyes of their hearts that they may know the hope to which you have called them, the riches of your glorious inheritance in your holy people, and your incomparably great power for all of us who believe. The same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead seated him at your right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, in every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And Father, thank you that you placed all things under Jesus' feet, and that you appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is Christ's body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Father, thank you for your assurance, love, and peace, and that we can come to you in prayer at any time. Please help us to also be ceaseless in prayer for each other, all for your glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen.